We're going to continue a little bit. This is going to be the last chelik that is on our, that is on the exam. And we're remembering, we're in the middle of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Just only, so that there are only the historical parts. We never got to the Mishnah itself. So only the part that we covered on that sheet. You're not responding. If there are parts on the sheet that we did not cover, you're not responsible for anything we did not discuss in class. So there are a couple of sheets where there were more information than what we did. You don't have to worry about that. All right, back to Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. So remember again, so Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Perek Gimel Mishnah Tes, Chapter 3, 9th Mishnah, in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa telling us, Kol, She'iras chet'o kodemes l'chachmoso, chachmoso miskayemes. Literally translated, anyone whose fear of sin precedes his wisdom endures. V'choshe chachmaso kodemes liyiras chet'o, ein chachmaso miskayemes. But anyone whose chachma precedes his yira, his yira sachet, his chachma does not endure. So we'll, Emir Tashem, loop back to that Mishnah, to understand the Mishnah just a little bit. But remember again, so far, what have we seen about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa? Greatest strength? Koach HaTfilah. So remember again, how do we understand this koach HaTfilah? Where did it come from? Remember again, we saw the exchange with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, right? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's wife was exceptionally intrigued that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's son became sick. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sends word to Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa to go ahead and daven on his sick son's behalf. Mrs. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says to her husband, "Is he greater than you?" To which Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai responds, "No, but what? He's an Eved. He is ke'eved lifnei rabo, and I am like what? I am like a sar, right? He is like the servant in front of the master, and I am like the official. What's the difference between the Eved and the sar? Right? Eved is able to go in. Even though Eved has a lower station, he has unrestricted access, as opposed to the sar, who may have a more chashiv position, but has limited access. So we saw, I believe we also, right, so we saw both stories, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa davening on behalf of people who were sick. Remember again, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, how did he know if his tefillah was going to be successful? Right? Shigura b'fiv, right? If the words flowed out uninterrupted, right? If the words came out in a flowing fashion, then he took that as a divine sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to grant his tefillah. Otherwise, I guess if he stumbled over the words a little bit more, he would not. So good. So we so far have seen Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's incredible koach HaTfilah, which amazingly enough does not stem from his incredibly, so let's take a step back. What does it stem from? His ability to literally move the needle on the Ratzon Hashem. Where do you think that comes from? Where does that power come from? So let's hold on to that for just 1 second. Before we start, where doesn't it come from? I know that's an open-ended question. I'm sorry? Excellent. It does not come from his chachma, which is incredible over here. Remember, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is not the ranking Talmud Chacham. I want to point out, I think I mentioned this when we started this Mishnah, there are very, very, very few teachings in Gemara that are mentioned in the name of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. His mark on Jewish society was not through his teachings. In fact, again, you begin to see that what the Gemara really points out about his most incredible koach. You know, for example, let's go back for just a second. Remember Yochanan ben Zakkai? Remember again, good review. Where did he have to move his base medrash to? Sorry, I heard someone say it. Excellent. Under the shade of the wall of the Beis HaMikdash. Excellent. Right? Because remember again, the regal, and there were so many people who gave Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. When you think about again, his incredible koach, it was in his ability to teach, his ability to inspire, and his ability to give people hope and confidence in the rebuilding after the Khorban. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, that's not his koach. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's koach is the koach HaTfilah. His ability somehow to connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam through this dialogical medium of prayer in such a way that he literally has the ability to help shape outcomes. That again, children are sick of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa davens, and the children are healed, and they're healed. Again, what's also amazing, not just that they're healed, but they're healed what? Immediately. Remember again the story where again they took down the time that Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa said to the two Talmidichom who came to him, "Go home, come, everything was fine." Not just results, but instantaneous results. Again, if there's one fundamental idea in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's that we do not expect immediate results. God is not an ATM, right? You do not expect immediate results with that Kodesh Baruch Hu. I daven, give me back. I ask, give me back. It's not the way that it works. Yet Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa davens, and there are instantaneous results. So it doesn't stem from his Chachma. And if it doesn't stem from his Chachma, maybe it stems from his Emunah. Let me show you another Gemara. Take a look at number 5. This is an incredible Gemara. Incredible Gemara on many levels. Havarigla divisu lemechma tanura kol ma'alei deshabsa v'shadji aktarto mishum kisufa. It's a little bit of background. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa was incredibly, incredibly poor. In fact, go back, I'm sorry, for one moment to 3 bays. 3 bays. Because this is actually an important introduction to this story. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Marav. Right? Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Bechol Yom Vayom, remember again in 3 Aleph, we spoke about the story with the rain, right? Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa davening for the rain to stop, the rain to start. Number and letter base. I'm Rav Yehuda Marav, Bechol Yom Vayom, Baskol Yotzei Zva Omeres. Every single day, Baskol. Baskol is, right? A voice from above, we know about Elisha ben Avuya, comes down and says, Kol Olam Kulo Nizon Bishvil Hanina Bini. How would you translate that phrase? The entire world is sustained in the merit of my son Hanina. So, whatever this means is that the Baskol Kiviyachol is saying that, not Kiviyachol, is saying that Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa possesses enough requisite merits to be able to sustain a world in its entirety. In its entirety. And what happens? But v'chanina b'ni dayo b'kav charuvim me'erev Shabbos l'erev Shabbos. What does that last phrase mean? V'chanina b'ni dayo b'erev charuvim me'erev Shabbos l'erev Shabbos? Right. So again, I'm not going to take a poll as to who likes carobs, bucks. You know, again, we don't have real bucks. You know, what you get like on Tu B'Shvat, you know, in the brown paper bag that looks like it's left over from last year's Tu B'Shvat, or from your parents' Tu B'Shvat. So that's, when they speak about, that's dried buxer. Real buxer, real carob is actually a real fruit. But the idea over here that Hanina ben Dosa could subsist on a kav of carobs throughout the week. What does that tell you? He has such a muna that he can live. What else does it tell you? He needed very little. He needed very little, right? All Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa needed to be content throughout the week was a kav of baksar. That's all he needed. He was very, very, very low maintenance. Now, the reason why this is incredibly important is we're going to see that this being low maintenance is often a prerequisite in reaching the heights of spirituality. If you need a lot in life to be happy, it is difficult to forge a meaningful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you're going to be preoccupied with getting the lot that you need in order to be happy. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa is able to cultivate a beautiful and passionate and intense relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he doesn't need a lot to be happy. He does not need to focus on material gains because he's totally okay with the kav charuvim. He's totally okay with the kav of baksar. That's enough to sustain him. So you have to understand the two sides of this coin. On one hand, the world in its entirety is being sustained in the zchus of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, yet Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa himself, oh bless you, only requires a relatively small amount to be sustained. Okay, now with that introduction, take a look at number 4. Back to the 5, sorry. Take a look at the Gemara. This is an amazing, amazing Gemara. Hava regila divisu lemechme tanura, komale de shabsa, vishadja aktarta mishum kisufa. So listen to this. Sab, question?
I still have another mishnah.
Yes. Another sheet? Yeah. Does anyone else need?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
My pleasure. So Hanina ben Dosa, so the Gemara said, Hanina ben Dosa was poor. He was very, very poor. Very poor. Again, remember, this goes to the Kav Charuvin also, right? All he needed was the Kav Charuvin. Probably all he had was the Kav Charuvin. He was very poor. So what happened? This is incredibly amazing as well. Now, why was Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa poor? What do you think?
He didn't like meat.
So right. So remember, this is a case of poverty by choice. So I want to be clear on this. It's not the pshat that he was unsuccessful in business, and therefore he was poor. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa was content with his life. He was good. He needed a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I guess he found the way in general to kind of get by. But what happens? So listen to this. On Erev Shabbos, he and his wife had the following system. His wife would heat up the oven, and would go ahead and put something in the oven to cause it to smoke. What was she trying to do? Make it look like she was cooking something or baking something. Because what did they not want? This is an incredibly important idea, which is sometimes a little bit lost in today's day and age. A person has an absolute right to devote themselves wholly and solely to the pursuit of a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What I don't have the right is to make that choice and to push that choice on others. So again, if I want to go ahead and wholly and solely devote myself to Avodas Hashem, and as a result there's poverty, I have absolutely every right to go ahead and take that upon myself. What I don't have a right to do is to take that upon myself and then say, you have the responsibility to help me out. This is an incredibly important hashkafic idea. We have a concept of Yisachar and Zvulun, right? So what's the difference between Yisachar and Zvulun? Right? Remember again, it's a synergistic partnership, right? Zvulun goes out to work, Yisachar goes ahead and learns. But remember, how many Shvatim were dedicated and devoted to full-time learning? Right? One. Shevet Levi is something a little bit different because Shevet Levi, again, works in the Beis HaMikdash and is supported through a system. And even Yisachar, ultimately, again, who is learning, ultimately, there's a system of support. This is exceptionally important. There's a system of support that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself created. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, could he get a job? Yeah. Sure. Whatever, I don't know what his skill says. Could he absolutely get a job? He made a choice not to. And that is his choice, as long as his wife is okay with it. Right? That's his choice, and that's his family's choice. But what he said is, if this is my choice, then I have to own it. And if I have to own it, I cannot go ahead and therefore foist the ramifications of that choice onto others. I have this relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have a unique relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm choosing to devote my life to that. You and me, and Mrs. Rabbi Hanina Mendoza, right? We will figure this out. But it is not for others to swoop in and save us. It's not for others to help us. This is for us to deal with. So as a result, they wanted to make sure to hide their poverty from everyone. So Erev Shabbos, everyone's cooking, right? So what's going to happen if the oven's not running in their home? What's going to happen? People are going to walk by and, right, realize that they don't have food. They don't have food. And by definition, Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, as much as he was not known for he wasn't Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the great teacher, but he wasn't Adam Gadol. That was clear. And had people known that ultimately, again, he didn't have something to eat, of course, people would have swooped in. But he did not want this. This was his choice of a lifestyle. This was his choice of life. And he and his wife together made it. I don't know about their children's situation, right? But at least this story doesn't echo it. And therefore, again, they made the choice to own that decision themselves. Listen to this. Havalahach shivivta bishta. They had a bad neighbor, right? What's the definition of a bad neighbor? A nosy neighbor, right? A neighbor who was already always trying to meddle in their business. Amra, she said, Michti, Yedana Deleslu Velomidi. I know that Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa and his wife, they have no food. I know they have no food. I know that they're using this trick. They're firing up the oven. She's throwing something in it to make it smoke, right? And I know they have nothing. So the Gemara says, Nai Kulihai. Why do they go ahead and they put on these shenanigans all the time? So this is actually very interesting. What does the neighbor have to do with their lifestyle choice? Nothing, right? But there are just some people who like to insert themselves into everything that happens with everyone else. So that's what the Gemara calls her a shevifta bishta. Bishta means bad. Bish is bays, yud shin is bad in Aramaic. Shevifta is a neighbor. She's a bad neighbor. She's always trying to insert herself. So she decides, you know what? I'm going to get to the bottom of this. What does she do? Ozla v'tarfa abava. She goes and she knocks on the door. On Mrs. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa's door, on the door on the right. So what happens? So Mrs. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa opens the door. Now she knows why the neighbor is there on an Erev Shabbos. I guess clearly she knew, right? She knows why the neighbor is there. So what happens? She knows now that what is the neighbor going to do? The neighbor is going to go to the oven and open it up. And what is she going to find? Absolutely nothing. So Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa's wife is humiliated and embarrassed. So what does she do? Ichseva, she gets embarrassed. Va'ailei le'indaruna. She runs upstairs. It's such a humiliating story. She runs upstairs. You know what? I don't need to be there when the neighbor opens the oven door and sees that there's no food in there. And she says, ah, I know what happens. Is avid lanisa, a miracle occurred. Dechazia letanura male lachma va'agna male lisha. A miracle occurred. And when the neighbor opened up the oven, it was filled with loaves of bread. And the mixing bowl was filled with dough. Amrala, the neighbor starts crying out, Planisa, Planisa, Mrs. Rabbi Hanina Mendoza, I see masa de kakarich lachma. Go bring your masa. I don't know what the technical term is. I think they call it like a baker's shovel. You know how like, you see it's like in the pizza store sometimes, right? When they put in like that long, thing with the long handle and the flat end. So I think it's called a baker shovel. Just quickly, go get your baker shovel. Go get the masa. Go get the masa. The bread is going to burn. Amra la, af ana la hachi aylai. So Mrs. Rabbi Hanina Mendoza says, oh yeah, that's why I ran upstairs. I ran upstairs to get my baker's shovel. So there's actually a discussion in the Rishonim. Partial reading of the Gemara is, of course, that's not why she ran upstairs. She ran upstairs, why? Why? Because again, she was embarrassed. She was embarrassed. She wanted to avoid humiliation. But again, incredible, incredible miracle. Now again, all of this just highlights this incredible level of emunah that they are existing with. Remember again, see, the end of the story must be that Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa and his wife clearly somehow found food for Shabbos, besides this Erev Shabbos, right? They must have found food somehow, in some way, because otherwise they wouldn't survive. So these people are living on pure emunah. They're just living on pure, unadulterated emunah. And when you live on pure, unadulterated emunah, again, I am not suggesting in any way that this is something to be replicated. I mean, all of us should live with pure emunah. This degree that we're learning about over here is a dramatically different model. Dramatically different model. So the story goes on. So the Gemara says, skip a little bit. Amrali Divisu. So this is an incredible story. So now I'm in number 5, 2, 4, 6 lines down from the top. Amrali Divisu. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa's wife, listen to this story. Ad imas nasal v'nitzdar kulehai. So apparently, Mrs. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, I guess like, it was tough for her, this lifestyle, understandably so. So she says, how long could we go on like this? How long could we live? Now again, it's not clear. It's possible these stories occur in succession, as they're mentioned over here. So maybe she has this run-in with the neighbor. She's saved from humiliation because Kadosh Baruch Hu performed an incredible miracle. But you can't rely on miracles all the time. So she says to her husband, how long are we going to go on like this? How long can we have this lifestyle? How long will we live in abject poverty? Samarla, mayna avit. So he says to her, what should I do? Rabbi Mendoza says, what should I do? Boy rachmi, dinesfu lacha midi. So his wife says, what should you do? You are the man with the koach hatfilo. You are the man who could daven a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Listen, daven. Daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that ultimately again he should take care of your mishpacha. Boy, Rachem Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, daven, and listen to what happens. Yotzisa come in pisas yad, v'yov uleichad kara dipsura didava. Get ready for this. A hand emerges from the heavens and hands Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa a golden table leg. A solid gold leg of a table. That's about instantaneous results. Right, Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, davens, we need parnasa, my wife can't take this anymore. Hand extends to the heavens, gives him a golden table leg. Okay? So fine, everything's fantastic. What happens? Chazia b'chalma, that night, Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa's wife had a dream. What was the dream? Aside tzadiki de'achli apsura de'dava, de'isle tlas kari. Va'at v'ihu apsura de'trei kroi. So what happens? So she, in her dream that night, she saw that in Olam Haba, the tzaddikim, sit at a table with three legs. Now to us that sounds, you know, understand, in Talmudic times, tables had three legs. Right? That was the stability of a table. No, it had a four-legged table, it was a three-legged table. So she saw in Olam Haba, the tzaddikim are eating at tables with three legs. Three-legged tables. And Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa was sitting at a table with how many legs? Two. So she understood that what had just transpired. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took some of his schar from Olam Haba and gave it to him in Olam Hazah. Gave him literally again a golden table leg from his table in Olam Haba. So what happens? So the Gemara says, Amra la, necha la, de mecha la, ka'achli kuli ama absur de mishalim, de mishalish, de mishalim, va'anan absur de mechsar. So his wife says to him the next morning, this is such an interesting exchange. Tell me, are you happy with all the tzaddikim and Olam Haba having a three-legged table, and you're only going to have a two-legged table? So like, she's giving him musr. So if you're poor, Avichanina ben Dosi, you're thinking to yourself, what?
US.
First of all, it's even something simpler. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? She wakes up perturbed. She's really? You want to sit in Olam Haba on a two-legged table? All the tzaddikim have a three-legged table? What exactly are you referring to? So she explains it to him about what she saw in her dream. And obviously, again, this was not haphazard. She was literally being given an insight into the afterlife. And the incredible schar that Rabbi Hanina Mendoza received in this world came at the expense of the stability of his table in Olam Haba. So once again, he says to his wife, a good husband, Umay Na'avid, which means what? So tell me, what would you like me to do? Right? You asked me to daven for help, I davened for help. We got the help, you don't like the help. What would you like me to do? So, boy rachami, den nishkalin hu minach. So she says to him, I want you to daven, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take back the table leg. Take it back. So what happens? Tana, so think about, boy rachami, v'chinen ben dosa daven, and what happens? Vishakluhu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took back the table leg. Tana, Gadol Hayanis Achron Yosem Min Harishon. The Gemara says, by the way, it's just like an afterthought. The Gemara says, the second miracle was even greater than the first. Meaning the second miracle of God taking back the table leg was even greater than the first miracle. Why? The Gemiri Dimiyohiv Yavi Mishkal Lo Shakli. Because you have a general principle, which again is a bit more complicated than for our purposes today. God gives blessings, but he does not take them back. Now, what that means and how that applies, and we seem to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives brachos and takes them back, deeper discussion, not for our purposes today. So why am I bringing down this Gemara? So this Gemara is important on a number of different levels. First of all, Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa willingly chooses a life of poverty. Why? Why? Because he makes an active decision to wholly and solely devote himself to his service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the exclusion of everything else. That was a decision that he and his wife made together, and therefore again kept the ramifications of that lifestyle away from everyone else. What's another lesson in this? What's another lesson that comes out from this story? What would you say? So can we be careful what you ask for? Good. What else? I'm sorry? His koach hatfilu, which again obviously is paramount in this story over and all of these stories. What else? Good. What else? Oh, so this very interesting interplay between schar and olam hazeh versus schar and olam haba, which again is an incredibly sometimes difficult balance. I'm saying, for example, where's the first time we see this tension in Chumash between olam hazeh and olam haba? First time. I'm sorry. Explicitly mentioned. Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Kinan, right? Be'eretz Meguveh Aviv. What does Rashi Vayeshev Yaakov? Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'Shalva. Yaakov wanted tranquility. I remember again, what does Kadosh Baruch Hu respond? Lo Dayecha Shetzadikim Yesham Shalvolam Habo Vat Mavakesh Bolam Hazeh. Such a strange. Kadosh Baruch Hu says what? It's not enough that you're going to have shalva, tranquility in Olam Haba. You want tranquility in this world also. And the answer to God is?
Yes.
Yes, actually, yes. We'd like tranquility in this world. And this, and understand, by the way, this is Yaakov Avinu, right? This is Yaakov Avinu right after having to run away from home because of Esav, dealing with Lavan, encountering Esav. Remember again, what happens, Mamash, in the next section? Next section is the abduction and abuse of Dina. Right, so Yaakov Avinu, and then again, right after that is Yosef. So yeah, Yaakov Avinu wants a little bit of shalva. Why is that bad? Why is that bad that he wants tranquility in this? That's it? There's no tranquility in this world? Now again, so we can get into the concept of tzaddik v'ralo, the righteous suffer. But again, this is one of these enigmatic ideas. This concept ultimately, again, that sometimes, now again, I want to point out, there are some people who Baruch Hashem have shalva in this world and in the next world. Not every righteous person suffers. Baruch Hashem, there are many, many, many wonderful righteous people who, as they say, ochel al shtei shulchanos. They have their ruchnius, they have their gashmius. Life seems to be in pretty good order for them. And we would assume that they have a lichtig gan eden as well. But yet, we see this tension exists. That some people, for whatever the reason, it is an either or. It's an Olam Hazeh experience, or it's an Olam Haba experience. This was Yaakov Avinu, and clearly the Gemara is telling us, this was Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa experience. Really? Kodesh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa has no food in the house. The only schar you can give him is the table leg from his table in Olam Haba. That was the only thing you had within divine reach. That's the only thing you could give him. You couldn't give him a couple of shekels. You couldn't give him a couple of dollars. You couldn't throw him down something else. It had to be the leg. So what do you think? What's the pshat? What's Kodesh Baruch Hu telling him? I'm sorry? So it could very well be excellent. But maybe what Kodesh Baruch Hu is ultimately telling him is that for you to become the best you, you need these circumstances. This in general is one of sometimes the most complicated lessons in life, that for us to fully self-actualize, I need difficult circumstances. That for me to become really the person I'm capable of becoming, that only really emerges with life stress. Without the stress, I stagnate. Without the stress, I don't grow. Without the stress, I do not self-actualize. And then no one likes this lesson, because I'd much rather self-actualize with bracha, with simcha, with shalva, everything fantastic. But we know it's not really the way that life works. People grow much more from their sorrows than they do from their brachos. That is just the nature of the human dynamic. So it could very well be that when Kadosh Baruch Hu says Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, of course I can give you schar, of course I can, but understand your greatness is predicated on this lifestyle. Your greatness is predicated on this total and absolute reliance. I remember again, what poverty does, what poverty did for, oh, I should say, I don't know what it does, but what it does for Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is it creates an absolute reliance on God. It is mamish, the eved lifnei rabo. Just like the eved only eats if the master gives him, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa eats if the master gives him. This absolute and complete and unequivocal reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though we all have the absolute reliance, just most of us don't really see it because we have money in the bank or we have food in the refrigerator, so we have this illusion of self-sufficiency. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa says no illusion of self-sufficiency because he is wholly and totally reliant on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you want the parnasa, right, if you want the money, I'll give it to you, but understand this will come at the expense of some element of your self-actualization. Incredibly difficult. It's a difficult and dynamic lesson, but we begin to see the underpinnings of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's greatness. I'll share with you one more story. Take a look at number 6. So another incredible maisa, which I think all I'm bringing you down these stories, not just because I like stories, but because ultimately, again, these stories paint a personalistic picture of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Listen to this. Chad be'shimshin, chazye lebarte dehavatzivas. Dehavatziva. One time, Erev Shabbos, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, actually I should say, Beis Shimshi actually means what? Ben Hashmashos. What does Ben Hashmashos mean? Right? Remember again, Ben Hashmashos means the period after sunset. So remember again, between what we call after sunset by nightfall. But remember again, by that point in time, for our purposes, we don't do malacha after sunset. You know, when we have Hadlakas Neros, so Hadlakas Neros on Erev Shabbos is 18 minutes before sunset, so that by the time Shkias, by the time the sunset comes, no more malacha. The reason we do that is why? Because just from a halachic perspective, after you get post-sunset, there's incredible halachic debate about whether or not that time of day, is it night. Therefore, when it comes to Shabbos, comes sunset, we're done. So what happens? Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa sees his daughter Bina Shmashas, meaning after sunset. And what happened? Dahava Atziva. Hava Atziva? She was sad. Why was she? Amrale Biti Lemay Atzivas. Why are you sad? So listen to this. Amrale Klishal Chomitz nischalifli bekli shel shemen v'hidlakti mimenu or l'shabbos. This is incredible. She says, I'm sad because I got mixed up between the vinegar and the oil. And I filled the Shabbos candles with vinegar and with oil, and not with oil. And now what? Now what? It's too late to do anything about it because Shabbos has already started. It's incredible. Amrava biti, ma'ich paslach. Ma'ich paslach means what? What? Don't be bothered. Literally means, what does it matter to you? What it means is, don't let this bother you. Misha amar l'shemen v'yidlok, hu yomar l'chometz v'yidlok. This is such a profound gemara. How would you translate that phrase? Right? He who told oil to burn will ultimately tell vinegar to burn. Meaning, what Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa is telling his daughter is, everything only happens because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the fact that oil burns, that's no less miraculous. I mean, that's miraculous itself. The fact that we're used to it, or the fact that, again, that's become our normal, that is no less supernatural or miraculous. So if oil can burn, guess what? The same God who said that oil could burn could also just as easily say that vinegar could burn. And the Gemara says, Tana, hayadolik v'holich kol hayom kulo, ad sheviu mimenu or lahavdala. Such a beautiful, beautiful Gemara. That's what? And the incredible part is the vinegar burned, and it burns even when throughout the entire Shabbos, to the point that they lit the Havdalah candle, ultimately again, from his daughter's Shabbos candles. Which is such... So what's the message here? What's the message? I'm sorry? Total reliance. Emuna. You begin to see, and I want to point something incredible out. You begin to see, not just Emuna, but it's what we call emuna pshuta. Emuna, how would you translate emuna pshuta? Simple faith. What does simple faith mean? See, there are different levels of emuna, right? I would say like more of like, there's like emuna as cultivated by the Rambam, like Maimonidean emuna, which is very much an intellectual emuna. An intellectual emuna, again, and many of the Musar Svarim, right, are devoted to this concept of a more intellectualized emuna. Contemplation of the world, contemplation of the Drachim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, contemplation of the attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's emuna. Emuna pshuta means what? I just believe. How do you know? How do you know? And the answer is, if somebody has a Emunah Pshuta, and somebody challenges, well, how do you know for sure that what you believe is true? The person in the Emunah Pshuta will respond, I know. I can't prove it. I can't tell you why. I just believe it. You know, I'll give you, this, by the way, is, I think, one of the greatest challenges that we possess today. You see, I'll give you just a simple parable. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik comments on this. He says that we live in an age of incredible Jewish scholarship. Well, what do I mean by that? That you could learn anything you want about Yiddishkeit. Right? And it's an incredible, incredible time. There's no body of knowledge that is off limits to anyone, right? Because everything is translated. You could find everything. And it's absolutely, it really is. Like we live in incredible times. So with the advent of scholarship, sometimes, again, comes a diminution in what we call simple faith. I'll give you an example. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik writes an article about this. He says that if you were to ask a woman, if you were to ask your grandmothers, right, why they lit Shabbos candles, right, what do you think they would answer? Because my mother did. If I were to ask you, if you already do, God willing, why are you going to light Shabbos candles? So again, so today, well, there's Echad Keneged Zachar, Echad Keneged Shamar, Shalom Bayis, Oneg, meaning, again, the level of education is much different. And again, it's not a bad thing, right? It's an incredible thing, meaning you understand the reasons for things in a much deeper way. There is a beauty to that in terms of understanding, but there's a certain beauty in the simplicity of saying, I do it because it's what my mother did. I do it because it's what my father did. It's what he calls, actually very beautifully, the mimetic tradition. The mimetic tradition meaning from mimicking. Right? I do this because that's what my mother did, that's what her mother did, that's what her grandmother did, right, and so on and so forth. Who knows? Why? I'm not sure why, but this is what we do. Now, the truth is, it's not an either or, right? In other words, that a person could have a deeper understanding of things, which is incredible, but at the same time, maintain that incredible feeling of being a link in the Masorah, a link in that, what we call that mimetic tradition. So there's this incredible, so what Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa possesses, which I think very often is lost in today's day and age, is emuna pshuta, a simple belief. I can't prove it, I can't articulate it, I can't explain it, but it just is. So his daughter is all upset because she put the vinegar in the licht instead of the oil. And Rabbi Chaim Mendoza says, don't worry about it. Meaning, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ribbono Shel Olam could do anything and everything. And therefore the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ultimately again, who says that oil could burn, could just as easily say that vinegar will burn. That's emuna pshuta. When you believe in your heart, meaning, can you imagine this? Imagine somebody did this in your house. Right? What would you say?
They're crazy.
Right?
If they tried to do this?
No. Let's say someone in your home, right, accidentally put the vinegar, your mother accidentally puts the vinegar, or if you like your own Shabbos candle, accidentally put the vinegar instead of the oil. So what would you say? Somebody's all upset. What would you say to them?
It's fine.
Right, it's fine. It's already Ben Hashemashos. They can't switch it. So what do you say?
Nothing
you could do. Don't cry over spilled milk, right? Move on. There's a mussar in it. There's a message in it. You'll try to become the Gadol Hador, interpreting the idea is what it means. Is this? You have to become a chatzos lady, whatever it means. All the different mussar that you could go ahead and, right? But the truth is, I don't think any of us would ever say, well, let's wait to see what happens. All right, let's just wait to see. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes oil to burn. He causes vinegar. Meaning, I don't even think that we would think to have that kind of response. Right? Because again, for a variety of different reasons. First of all, it's not the natural way the world works, right? Or vinegar doesn't burn. And again, we'd be tempted to say, just don't worry about it. It's okay. It's fine. You had a rough, whatever it is. Let's see. The same HaKadosh Baruch Hu who said that oil can burn also could say that vinegar would burn. I don't even think it would be on our lips. Yes?
If someone does respond like that, would it work for anyone?
I don't know. I think if you have that level of emuna and you literally wait for those wicks to ignite, I don't know. Remember again, I want to point out, not everybody with emuna pshuta gets these results either. That's what I'm saying. If you need a bendosa, this is part of a whole package. And that's, I'm giving you these stories all together. I'm giving you the poverty. I'm giving you this, meaning this is not just one time the Shabbos candles, there was a mix-up and he said, let's see what happens. This is part of an entire gestalt, right? This is an approach to life. This is, could it be that if a person has that level of emuna, things like this could happen? Sure. If you have emuna, anything could happen. Anything could happen. Does it happen? I don't know. I don't know. I'm jealous of this level of emuna, so I can't answer you. But it's clear that at least when somebody's Rami Hanina Mendoza's level, it absolutely can and did happen. But this is the power of emuna pshuta. Emuna pshuta is literally when you believe just on a very basic and simple level that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do anything, then you give him the room to actually do anything. This is part of the incredible dynamic. See, what Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa is teaching us is that sometimes we create our constructs for living. So let's use this example. In our construct for living, right, what happens when you put vinegar in the Shabbos licht? What happens? It doesn't kindle. See, that's the construct we have. It doesn't work. So if that's the construct, if that's the reality that you are bringing to the table, then what's going to happen?
It won't work.
In Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa's world of emuna pshuta, what could happen?
Anything
could happen. If anything could happen, then by definition, you are giving the Ribbono Shel Olam the room to, so to speak, do his thing. Whatever that thing is. It could be a golden label tag, a golden table leg from the celestial seer. It could be vinegar going ahead and kindling. But yet, here's the amazing part. You know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and here's the other part of this coin. You believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do anything. But yet, what do you need to be happy in life? What do you need to be happy? What did Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa need? What did he need?
Nothing.
No, he didn't need nothing. No one needs nothing. What did he need? the Kav of Charuvin. You hear this incredible dialectic that Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's emuna pshuta, where the HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do, could be, can create anything and everything. And for me, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa says, me, my greatest life privilege is to have a relationship with the infinite divine being. What do I need, therefore, in this world? The most basic needs to go ahead and sustain my physicality. The Kav Charuvim, Me'erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, is going to be more than enough. I don't need anything more than that. This is this incredible dialectic. You have a man who has a relationship with the infinite divine, and he believes with all of his heart that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything and everything, yet he himself needs really nothing more than that relationship. I need the basic staples in my own physical sustenance, but aside from that, I don't need anything else. Incredible, incredible, incredible personality. Yes.
Also, maybe that his emunah was so great that he would say that, but if it didn't happen, it wouldn't hurt it.
Right.
Part of the emunah is accepted.
Excellent, excellent point. This is an incredible point. Meaning, it's nice that the vinegar, you know, ignited. That's beautiful. But if it didn't, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's emuna would not have been diminished. This is an incredibly important point as well.
But there's probably stories that didn't work out.
I'm sure that, remember again, the Gemara only tells us the stories of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's koach atfilah. It doesn't tell us the stories which must have occurred, or the times that he davened for stuff. And again, by the way, what I want to point out to you is, remember, even go back to the table leg story for just a moment. If you think about it for just a moment, what's the takeaway of that story? Think about this just a moment. Thinking about unanswered prayers, what's the takeaway? Or one of the takeaways. Did Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa get what he wanted? Did he get what he wanted? No, he didn't get what he wanted. What he wanted was sustenance in Olam Hazeh that would not come at the expense of anything in Olam Haba. Right? That's what everybody wants. I dabble into HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time for stuff. In the parentheses of my prayers is, God, give me A, please give me, please give me A, B, C, D, and E. But please do not let it come at the expense of my reward in the afterlife. Now, of course, I don't explicitly articulate that, but that is muvan me'elov. That is understood. That's inherently understood. No one wants schar olam hazeh at the expense of olam haba. So Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can you help me out? The request obviously was, help me out. Please give me sustenance without it coming from my schar in the afterlife. But that, the answer to that, what was the answer to that request?
No.
Is incredibly important. The answer was no. I'll give you a leg from the table in Olam Haba, but I'm not going to give you just plain old schar. See, absolutely right. It's an incredibly important point. I would have to imagine, although the Gemara doesn't tell us, but we'd have to imagine there are many tefillos where they didn't work out as Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa wanted. Remember again, even going back before, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa said, I know when a tefillah is going to be successful. How? How? Shigura b'fiv. It flows out, which tells you that what? There are times when it did not fall out. There are times that he stumbled upon his words and therefore realized that the tefillah was not going to be niskavel. By the way, not only for others, but even for himself. So you're absolutely right. The true manifestation of emunah pshuta, the truth is not when the vinegar is kindled. Right? The true manifestation of emunah pshuta is when the vinegar remains dormant, is when the answer is no, is when you don't get what you want, yet your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still there and is still vibrant. All right, we'll stop here for today. Meretz Hashem again. We didn't get to the Mishnah part, but at least you have the historical part.